peace transforms our lives, enabling us to know and love the God who created us, to live freely in accordance with his will, and to cooperate in building a truly human and fraternal society.
Why do I have to go to Mass? Why don't priests marry? Is it absurd to believe in God in today's world? These are just some of the questions that Vatican Radio will be putting to Monsignor John Kennedy, an official from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, in a new series running throughout the Year of Faith. It's a way of helping people along as they respond to Pope Benedict XVI's invitation to all of us to deepen our knowledge of why we believe what we believe. The Holy Father is also encouraging us to seek out answers to questions of faith by picking up the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This, he says, gives us the food for thought that we are all seeking. So if you have any questions, big or small, questions that you have always wanted to ask but never have, this is your chance. You can send them on to Monsignor Kennedy at our email address, news@vatiradio.va, or on Vatican Radio English Section's Facebook page, and tune in each Tuesday to find out the answers to your questions of faith. Welcome back to another edition of Questions of Faith with our very own official from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Monsignor John Kennedy, joining us this week. Monsignor Kennedy, a very interesting question arrived in for you to answer, which is, why do we pray to saints?
Well, thank you, Emer. You might notice that on the 1st of November every year, and indeed throughout all the liturgical celebrations that we have in church, as well as in the prayers of everyday Mass, the Church is always speaking about saints. And to see why, let's have a look at what a saint is. The word saint comes from the Latin word sanctus, and that means holy. If you attend Mass in Latin someday, any of the basilicas here in Rome, you'll notice that we say, or at least even sing this word, at least three times during the Mass. We say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts," just before the consecration. And at this point, we refer to God, who is holy. So as followers of Christ, we try to make those words that we say match the sort of life that we lead. And for this reason, those who love God and who try to be like him also try to imitate his holiness. So we understand then that a saint is a person who follows Jesus Christ and lives according to his teaching, striving to be holy in everything he or she does.
But that's a quite broad meaning of saint. Isn't there something more specific to do with saints and the sainthood?
There is. We also use the term very narrowly to refer especially to holy men and holy women who have led extraordinary lives with the three virtues of charity, that would be faith, hope, and love, and who are at this moment already in heaven. We also remember that all of the life of holiness which characterized these men and women is in fact God's work within us. It's not as if we have decided to be holy of our own accord. And throughout the Christian history, the Catholic community has always recognized and honored in a very particular way those members that tried to live this in a particular way and who actually achieved it. So through God's grace, they lived lives that were worthy of imitation. So they're held up for us as examples, and we try to imitate their lives of faith, hope, and charity. And these people are very familiar. We can think perhaps of our national saints or our patron saints. Perhaps your name is actually that of a saint, or if not your first name, maybe your second name from baptism. And many schools and colleges and many places are given names after saints, which actually highlights how important they are. Think of St. Mark's Square in Venice. Think of the city of San Francisco in the west coast of the United States, and famous pilgrimage places like Santiago de Compostela in Spain. However, I think it's important to remember that while we have saints that are officially recognised by the Church, there are those who have lived very hidden lives of love and service, and they're known not to the entire Church, but maybe to particular communities and to particular families. And you've often heard the phrase, I suppose, of people saying, "Usher, he's a saint."
It's also something Pope Benedict XVI has spoken about. When he was marking All Saints' Day this November, he prayed not only for the saints known to us, he said, for those saints known only to God.
That is true. I mean, it would take a very large piece of paper, I think, to write down all of the names of the saints. And what Pope Benedict was speaking about was the importance of saints. He was putting these people before us as something which we should actually sit up and pay attention to, because saints are, I think, important for two reasons. They're role models, so we should imitate saints. But there's also a second reason why we need to consider saints as being important, because like John the Baptist, they're also road signs. They point not to themselves, but they always point beyond themselves. And for the Christian community, they point to the reality of eternal life, of life beyond death, because they live their lives in such a particular way as to try and merit heaven. They were saying to you and to me, look, don't be solely concerned with the world around you. Look ahead to heaven, to where God is. And that's why the Church always speaks about saints. In fact, it's actually impossible to speak about the Church without speaking about saints.
This brings us on to another question. What is the Church's precise understanding of the relationship between it and the saints?
If I can put this in a very nice way that perhaps people who are not Catholic might also be able to understand. If you take a family, for example, we all belong to families. And if in a particular family one son lives in Japan and one daughter lives in Brazil and the rest live in Belgium, they consider themselves as being a family even though, due to geography, they are separated. Now, if a grandchild is born into that family, they will celebrate that. And if someone dies in the family will mourn. But the family will never consider the person who has gone from them to be missing or no longer part of the family. And that's the way the Church refers to saints as well. We see those who live on the earth and those who are living with God as being part of God's entire family. And by virtue of our baptism into God's family, we see there being a very strong connection between those who are alive on the earth and those who are alive before the face of God. And so we would say that we are in communion with the saints, and they are also in communion with us. And the bond that we have is really, really important, and this is what the Church calls the communion of saints.
So what does the Church base this teaching on?
If you go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, you'll see there that the Church is not only composed of those who are alive now, but also those who are in the presence of heaven, which I've just said. And St. Paul speaks about the Church, you might remember, as being the body of Christ. But we also have another beautiful image from St. Thomas Aquinas, and I have to read this because I couldn't remember it off by heart. It says, "Since all the faithful form one body, the good of each is communicated to the others. We must therefore believe that there exists a communion of goods in the Church, but the most important member is Christ, since he is the head. Therefore, the riches of Christ are communicated to all the members through the sacraments." And so what St. Thomas Aquinas means here is that the communion of saints is really twofold. There is a communion or a sharing in holy things, sacraments, for example, and also a sharing among holy people, so the saints and those who are in the Church. In the Eastern Church, in the liturgy that they have there, there is a proclamation which says, God's holy gifts, meaning the sacraments, for God's holy people. And that's what we're called to be, God's holy people, through baptism. And the point at which this expression is said during the liturgy is very important as well, because it's said during the elevation of the holy gifts before the distribution of Holy Communion. And then that link is emphasised even more when the faithful receive or are fed by Christ's body and blood in the Eucharist, so that they, as God's holy people, can grow in communion with the Holy Spirit, communion of the Holy Spirit, and so communicate that holiness to the world.
Where did this idea of holding things in common come from?
We have to go back to Easter, to the beginning of the Church, where the Church made a radical difference in terms of its structure within Roman society. And when we go back to the Acts of the Apostles and saw how the Apostles lived in those first years, we see that they held everything in common and that they shared together and that they as a body were united for the teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And in the same way, all the sacraments that are given to us by Christ are sacred links which unite us, uniting all the faithful with each other and together with the person of Christ. That happens through our baptism, the gate by which we enter into the Church, where we become one with Christ in that sacrament. And so the communion of saints must be understood as the communion of the sacraments, and that the name communion is applied actually to all of the sacraments. You might think that it's only the Eucharist, but baptism is also about the communion. It's the one Spirit given to us in confirmation, given to the entire Church. And for the sacraments of anointing, it's the healing of the members which form the entire body of the Church.
Is that also why we have the Litany of the Saints, which is, shall we say, evoked or chanted before the beginning of many of these sacraments, the rites for the actual sacraments themselves?
That's a really super example. Not only for the sacrament of ordination of priests, deacons and bishops, but also, I'm just thinking now, the sacrament of baptism. You call down the saints, the invocation of the saints. It shows a special link between the Church on earth and the Church in heaven. And in fact, about 2 weeks ago, some of us from the office were present at the ordination ceremony of Monsignor Charles Scicluna, who's the new auxiliary bishop in Malta. And one part of the ceremony is a very moving part, because the person to be ordained lies in front of the altar, and the whole community, the priests, the bishops, the faithful present, all call down in one voice the help or the intercession, the assistance of these saints. And very often in the list of the saints, you can see those who are really well known in the Church, the famous, the apostles, the saints, the martyrs. But then you also see the list of local names, or maybe in his case, he had saints that are associated with priesthood and saints that are associated with the various different places that he'd worked and lived throughout his life.
So what exactly is the role of saints in the individual life of the faithful, the average man or woman, child, young, old, who kneel down every evening and pray to their favourite saint? How can or can they help us at all?
I think people have a very profound understanding of what it is that saints are and what they can do and what our relationship with them is. I think a lot of people see saints as being models or inspirations. But I think a lot of people would also appreciate that they do more than that, because they are so closely united to Christ.
So summarising in a nutshell, if we can, such a serious aspect of the sacrament of reconciliation.
For us.
The answer for our listener today is...
Their lives have been so rich in faith and God has been so pleased with their lives that God will listen very readily to them if we, in faith, present our needs through them. It's like having somebody representing you in court and someone speaking on your behalf. We often refer to the Holy Spirit as our advocate. Of course, that's a legal term. If you have an advocate, it's a person who stands before the judge and pleads on your behalf and makes your case very favourable. Well, saints do that as well. But I think if we like to use a modern image as well, we're all living in very technological times and we're all networking. We all have probably email addresses and we all go online to see what the latest thing is. We know what all of our friends are doing around the world. And that is a kind of a communion. Let's say it's a small c in the word communion. But the big communion, the communion of saints, is that global view that the church, not only today, but also for centuries has had in terms of we as the church on earth being so profoundly and deeply and spiritually and substantially linked with the church in heaven through these wonderful people who are, if you like, one of our own, who have gone and lived lives that were extraordinary and now occupy a place in the Father's kingdom.
On a very personal note, who's your favourite saint? Who do you pray to most often?
That's a very interesting question. I'd be pretty fond of St. John the Baptist because he is the patron saint of my local parish, and it was in my local parish that I was ordained to the priesthood. And when I go home at Christmas or any time during the year, I often celebrate Mass in the parish. So among my own people, among my own worshipping parish community in Dublin. And it's at this time of the year, during the celebration of Advent, that the figure of John the Baptist comes very much to the forefront. And we realise that he, like many of the saints, was the voice in the desert, crying and pointing people towards God. And he's the one who said, look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And as a result, the people left John the Baptist and followed Christ. And in many ways, the saints don't want us to follow them and to ignore Christ, to ignore the Father, to ignore the Holy Spirit. They actually point us forward. So I'd say John the Baptist.
Were you named after John the Baptist?
No, my father just liked the name John, and having the name John Kennedy turned out to be really useful as years have gone by.
Well, you were going to conclude with a reflection for us.
I took this reflection from the Catechism itself, and it says, the saints remind us of one great thing. We are in the one family of God. And as the document Lumen Gentium from the Second Vatican Council says, for if we continue to love one another and to join in praising the Most Holy Trinity, all of us who are sons of God and form one family with Christ, we will be faithful to the deepest vocation of the Church, which of course is the vocation to holiness.
Well, thank you very much for giving us a little bit of an insight into why we actually pray to the saints. And we invite any of our listeners who may have any more questions regarding saints and the Catholic churches or the churches teaching on the saints to please write to us on news@vatiradio.va or send in their questions via posting or private message on our Vatican Radio English section Facebook page. Thank you very much, Monsignor Kennedy.
Thanks, Emer. See you next time.
See you next week.